Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, September the 25th, 285th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Red Way Command Post. Ooh. It almost sounds like F Troop, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Did you watch that when you were growing up?
No. Oh. Probably before my time.
Fine, then I'll just make the references and you're going to have to watch TV Land to come up to speed with it.
All right.
Brett Fabria is with us. Good afternoon, guy.
How are you?
Oh, I'm vertical. That's a win today.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always comforting to know that you're wearing stripes and they're not prison stripes.
No black and white and no orange jumpsuit.
No, not today.
No.
Not today. This afternoon, we got a bunch of different things to talk about. Some safety concerns, some safety issues for those folks that, hunting season is here, whether it's arrow or bow is the accurate term, or rifle. We've got those seasons we're in the middle of, as well as just, other seasons are abounding also.
Yes.
Outdoor harvest season is one. Tourist season is one. We'll talk about those. And also, we'll get an update on the Wilts Bypass. Is, believe it or not, Brett is involved with some of the security in association with that event because it's in his territory.
Part of, yes.
Yeah, yeah. The important part. That's what we'll talk about when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Fashion, I think we're ready for a fashion quote.
We're both wearing a button-up shirt, so that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Marilyn Monroe quote. I'm being asked what she wore to bed in one of her autobiographies, this one in 1956. Quote, Chanel number 5. So, guys, you can take that one home.
I think you can still buy that, can't you?
I think so. I love that one of the greatest quotes, great sales quote, but also great beauty quote. It was from the fella who was Charles Revson, Revlon,
mm-hmm.
Right? He says, in the factory we sell fragrance. In the store we sell hope. Isn't that cool?
That is good.
Yeah, yeah. So what's going on in the south part, other than drought,
mm-hmm.
A couple homeless encampment breakups, drought,
mm-hmm.
Drought. Anything?
Summer's, for us, the summer, festival season is over. Reggae on the River is been wrapped up, and that's the last big kind of event we have down in Southern Humboldt. And now, it's looking like we're getting some rain, so, there's some slick roads out there and, a little less tourists in the parks and on the Avenue of the Giants. We're hoping that people continue to drive safe. Don't want people to crash.
Is the Avenue a concern? I don't mean to be facetious necessarily or unintended, but with the moss that's grows up there,
mm-hmm.
Certainly it's not maintained to the same extent that the primary artery is by Caltrans.
It's maintained quite a bit.
But you don't have the painted sides as much, and mm-hmm. The moss is there. I mean, it's a different set of concerns and issues that are there. Does the Avenue present a separate, unique challenge for you guys?
It is because, it is, not maintained, or I don't want to say not maintained as well, but it's, it's a two-lane road, and it's windy, and the trees, they don't move. If you veer off the road, guaranteed that tree's not going to move.
There are plenty of battle scars on the trees.
Yes, yeah. So, but you know, the traffic is less on the Avenue of the Giants in the wintertime than it is in the summer because, you know, the tourist travel. But, you know, people still got to watch their speed. I mean, those turns, they sneak up on you and a slick road, and before you know it, you're off the side of the road.
That's why I was wondering if speeding is as much of a primary concern or inattentiveness is a higher concern because of the environs that these folks, particularly if they're not locals, the uniqueness of the area that they're in.
You know, in an area like that, the speed limit could be 45 miles an hour, but that doesn't mean that that's the safe speed. You know, that maybe is the speed limit, but on a rainy day when the road's wet, you might take that turn at 45 miles an hour and you're not going to make it because you slide off the road. So just because what the, you know, speed limit might be on that road, that's not necessarily always the safe speed.
Can two RVs pass safely?
Uh-huh.
How about a cement truck and an RV?
Yeah, they can, okay. You know, yeah, those lanes are wide enough.
So there's still enough space through that.
Yes, just pay attention.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of like the bottom line all the time?
Yeah, pay attention, eyes forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I would imagine if somebody's from Kansas, that's darn tough to do.
Yes.
I mean, you're seeing, one, not only are they trees, wow, but they're trees that are big trees.
Well, and there's no special license to drive a big motorhome. You can go into a business and you can buy a great big long motorhome and hop in it and drive away. And, you know, there's some skill involved in driving something that big because, you know, they don't turn like a car does. And there's some, you know, corners where you don't want to have the rear hanging out a little bit.
Well, and just centrifugal force.
Yes. And it's very top heavy.
All of a sudden you hear things shifting in the back.
Yes.
As you're going into the corner a little too hot. Do you guys have a handout or a reference or something for folks that are considering either on a rental basis, because I would think that's more challenging, you know, if you rent one of these things for 2 weeks.
I think it's usually handled by the company that's renting the motorhome or buying it. Some companies I do know will take you out on a test drive and you know, kind of give you some lessons on driving a large motorhome, but that's normally where that information comes from.
So it's not like child seat?
No, not like a child seat.
Okay, since I did bring that up, What are the rules for child seats for an RV? Are they different? Are they the same?
It's the same, yeah. You have to be strapped into a child safety seat. You can't let your kids be running around in the back of the motorhome. Because just like anything else, you know, if you hit the brakes real hard, they're going to bang into something. Yeah, so we want everybody to be secure. And so, you know, we're a big advocate of child safety seats. And if you want to have us inspect your child safety seat, come to any CHP office Monday through Friday during business hours, and we'll inspect that seat. There's always a child safety seat tech that's there at the office.
Come in slow enough so you're not going to scare anybody.
Exactly, yeah.
Or turn on your own sirens to get people's attention. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Brent Fabry.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, KWSW980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry out of the Garberville office of the CHP. Brett, looking at or concerning, yeah, the harvest season is here. Last break we talked a little bit about the RVs. Are RVs, the oversized vans, trailers, things like that, are they the ones that are often used to haul out some of the marijuana that's grown? Or is it typically the small little car that's got a trunk and you guys open the trunk and go, oh, looky Lou.
we found them in both situations. You know, it's been trailers, it's been pickups. They're taking it out however suits them.
So there's no, like, a red flag or anything that gets your guys' attention any more than others?
No, there isn't.
Do they use the fancy cars, too, the vroom vroom cars? Yeah, there's a stereotype, right? Everybody likes to, oh, there goes a red Firebird.
If we were still in the 80s, probably.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, not that I'm an expert in moonshine at all, but there are certain cars that were designed for, you know, that's where NASCAR came from, was running moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and the revenuers, or the equivalent of CHP, would know what was going on, when, what was, mm-hmm. and probably half the drivers.
Yeah, we don't, you know.
Game on.
Yeah.
But with the marijuana industry, because it's, there's the international component associated with it, there's the corporate component associated with it, and then you got the backyarders with it. Do you guys get to the point where you recognize who the players are or aren't, or certain tendencies?
No, I mean, this is 2014 where, you know, you have to have a reason to stop every car that's out there. And, you know, there's no set, what you're looking for is like a profile. There isn't a profile. You know, I mean, we've had it in the back of pickup trucks. We've, you know, arrested people that had it just in the back seat of their car. So there isn't really any indicators like that.
Doesn't that blow you out of the water? Hey, you get something that's worth however many tens of thousands of dollars or more.
It amazes me sometimes.
You just put it in the back seat. You know, you have your bag of cash in the front. And let's, you know,
yeah.
Let's swing by and get a hamburger.
It is amazing sometimes. Yeah.
Do the new guys have a tough time normalizing that stuff?
No, not really. Because they're out there doing their job, and when they come across something, they know how to handle it, and they learn. About this area up here is pretty prevalent for marijuana, and so they just they learn about it, and they go with it, and they just go out there and do their job.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, my jaw would drop if I stopped somebody and there was $75,000 in cash sitting there. What? Wow.
that's back to that thing we talked about, I think, you know, several months ago.
Being cool.
The integrity, you know, of your position. And
But I mean, just actually seeing it. Yeah. Not that you'd be tempted by it.
Yeah.
But just seeing that.
It's amazing.
Oh, man. I don't know. That would be really interesting, perhaps. I'm thinking of it like a county fair display or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the cash that was captured in the last month by the California Highway Patrol in Humboldt, Del Norte, and Mendocino counties, all drug-related.
Yeah.
Boom, and you got a display. Obviously, under
the glass. Sheriff's office finds more than we do.
I know. Well, I've talked to Mike about that, too. Going, I don't think a lot of us regular guys appreciate what... I mean, we see it. We certainly know the impacts of that in the area, but... As far as the currency and the value put in the dollars, I don't think we have reference points to that stuff.
Yeah.
So when you're training new guys, how do you work them through this stuff?
They learn it from their FTOs. You know, they learn, making stops and finding stuff and, what you're looking for. And, you know, you get an odor of marijuana, you know, you develop probable cause based on what you're seeing and what you know. And so they teach them. Yeah.
How long does it take for one of the new guys to come up to speed?
About 3 months. They're with a training officer for about 3 months.
I didn't ask how long they had their buddy. Before they really know what's going on. Is it a year, year and a half? I know that tends to be for most jobs.
Some people know, some people have some different experiences and they know right away. You know, they're pretty sharp guys, pretty smart guys. Some guys it takes a little longer, but, it depends on what you might have been exposed to when you're in the FTO program.
Oh, I would thought growing up. Yeah, and I would imagine that's part of it, and then getting to understand the terrain also. Do you draft cadets, or do you get assigned cadets?
We get assigned cadets.
So you could get somebody from Lompoc that would have no clue.
Correct.
So how do you acclimate them to the area?
They're gonna get accustomed to it. They're going to run into it all the time, so they'll it's the trial by fire. You're gonna learn about it.
So but do they put in requests for rural or
no,
metropolitan areas? How do they? Because I would think somebody, not Lompoc, but let's say somebody cadet from L.A.
Yeah, they get a list when they're nearing their graduation time. They get a list, and so if you have 50 people in the academy, there's a list of 50 areas, and they rank them 1 through 50 of where they would like to go first and what their last choice is, and then those are assigned by the last four of their Social Security number, starting with the highest number first going down.
So the rural guy still could end up in the city, and the city guy could still end up in the boonies.
Yes.
How long do you give it until you say this match isn't a good one? If somebody's spending all of their available off hours driving down to Santa Rosa.
Well, they have to live up here. So they're going to have to move up here and they're going to have to stay here. But, you know, what they do on their days off, we can't, you know, we can't prevent that. We would hope that they'll get involved in the community and find out that it is a pretty good place to live up here. And, you know, some people stay, but other people, you know, they want to get back maybe to Southern California, whether it's where their family is. And in due time, when there's openings, they'll get there.
KINS News and Information time is 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with California Highway Patrol Area Commander out of Red Way, Brett Fabry. Brett, one of the areas that I think a lot of folks here don't understand, here being north of Red Way, is that your jurisdiction isn't just Red Way, Garberville.
Correct.
It's a little bit bigger splash in the pond than that. How the fact that you get to work with the folks in Willits, does that help knowing the region better or the communities better? Is there commonality with the way that the districts are drawn up?
You know, our area covers from just north of the city limits of Willits, and we cover all the way up to almost to Stafford. So, you know, south of Scotia there. And then we go all the way out to the Trinity County line and then all the way out to the ocean the other way, out, you know, Shelter Cove. And every community is different. And, you know, we try to patrol every one of those communities and we get to learn to know some of the people, you know, some of the volunteer firefighters. You know, we deal with them quite a bit with crashes. And so it's a very unique community, but I enjoy it down there. It's a lot of fun.
So with Northern Willits, sounds like it's more than a bump in the road. With the north end of Willits and the construction project that's going on there with the bypass, what lessons have you learned from that one?
I don't know that we've learned some lessons.
Not CHP, you. I mean, you deal with hopefully a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, Richardson's Grove, hopefully, will be taken care of sometime before we're both dead. Traffic control, you know, that kind of stuff that is extraordinary, but not that exceptional.
Yeah. The Willits project, you know, has been very challenging for, you know, not only Caltrans, but us when it comes to, you know, some of the people protesting and stuff like that. But, I've been up here on the North Coast. I was here when Redwood Summer was going on in the late.
You weren't on board with the logging trucks.
No. But, okay. But you know, I was in law enforcement at that time. And, you know, they're very passionate about what they believe in. And they are doing a lot of stuff to keep that passion going. And it's slowed the process a little bit, but you know, Caltrans is doing everything that they ask and are trying to get this project done to make it better for people traveling from southern, you know, the Bay Area up through the North Coast
and vice versa. Yeah. Okay. Redwood Summer, you realize how old that makes us sound?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Little history. So with the Willits bypass and the activity that's there, are the protests still active or have those kind of dissipated as the project has matured?
They're still monitoring the activities of Caltrans. They're, you know, making sure that Caltrans is doing stuff that they are supposed to do by law, and Caltrans is, but they're monitoring that to make sure that this project goes through and that goes through as it's supposed to go by law.
But they're not monkey wrenching or any of that kind
not
of stuff.
Not at this time, no. And we hope to keep it that way.
There you go. Yeah. What kind of timeline is the bypass? I mean, it was, what, 25 years before the thing started. So I think a lot of us have kind of lost, you know, the fact that there's something going on there is still novel for many of us.
Yeah. They're working to finish this construction season. October 15th is kind of when that starts to end. Then they'll start with erosion control for wintertime. They can ask for an extension to work down there longer if there's no rain. Let's hope that there is rain because, you know, obviously we need that. But I think the project is supposed to be done somewhere around 2016, just depending on how, you know, the construction process goes. But they're getting a lot of work done down there.
So we're still a couple years away from being able to avoid the challenge in downtown Willits.
Yeah, they're about, at this point, about 45% done with the project.
Well, that's cool. I suppose once we start seeing the asphalt machines.
Yes.
That's what
you start seeing some interchange. There'll be an interchange at the north and south end, I believe. They're going to start paving on the south end part of that interchange. So, yeah, you'll start seeing some changes. Obviously, there's been some visible changes already, but you'll start seeing more.
When those types of things happen, is it's in the construction window and you got things all over the place, do you deploy more guys down there? Or are they just more active when they're down there trying to cover more areas?
We have people assigned down there every day to make sure that there isn't any disruptions to the construction process, to the contractors that are there, making sure that nothing happens to their equipment and that they can continue to do their job and do their job safely without people, you know, in the construction area, you know, maybe getting hit by something. You know, we don't want to see that happen. So we have people there every day.
Do they walk around and just kind of see what's going on? They drive around on the loaders and stuff, the big toys, or
no? They're in patrol cars patrolling the construction area.
Okay, so you have like special rigs for that, because I would think that the normal rigs would get a lot of dust and gunk.
They get dirty, but you know, most of the roadways, you know, the gravel roads and stuff, we can get from one end of the construction site to the other.
So you're just kind of cruising the site.
Yeah, making sure that the process continues.
Huh. That's cool. You worried about Renegade, or are you worried about a group?
We're worried about anybody that wants to maybe harm a worker or harm themselves. They get in the construction area and, you know, are not familiar with this big loader that's coming the other way, and they get hit by that. You know, that's the stuff that we want to prevent them from doing.
Was that a concern early on? Or not a concern, but was that something that had a higher likelihood early on that they would try to get in the way of those things?
Yeah, they've tried to attach themselves to different pieces of equipment, which is very dangerous. You know, I mean, those pieces of equipment,
kind of like the old
locking themselves
around the trees.
Yes. So, you know, locking themselves to a piece of equipment can be very dangerous, especially if that equipment is operating, because, you know, those operators maybe don't see them. And so that's a concern.
Have there been any near misses?
Not that I've heard.
Okay, so it's pretty straight.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, it sounds similar to when we were seeing the protests in the woods, when they would chain themselves to various things or
pieces of equipment. Yes,
or try to get in the middle of a live cut area.
Yeah,
think that people were going to see him and stop cutting instead of here comes the tree, get out of the way.
Yeah, laying down in front of logging trucks and stuff, very similar.
Yeah, speed bumps, I think, is what we called them. Okay. What I call them. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:41. We'll be back with more from Brent Fabry.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry. Brett, we talked a little bit about new guys, gals coming on board. At least from what I seem to have as a general consensus, law enforcement in the area, you guys, the sheriff's departments in the various counties, the local jurisdictions, nobody's running at full capacity.
Correct.
Everybody has some holes or would like to expand because of some changes and stuff. How are you guys doing as far as staffing?
We're doing pretty good. You know, we're still down a few positions, just like, you know, the sheriff's office and the, you know, the Humboldt CHP office in Ukiah. And, you know, we get by. We do the best we can. You know, if there's community concerns, we try to address those with the staffing that we have. But I'm always begging for positions. I'm getting two cadets here coming the end of October. One will be assigned to the Garville area and one will be down in Laytonville. And so I'm excited to get those. But then I'm, you know, I'm losing two guys, too, that are transferring out in December.
Don't like leadership?
No, you know, they just want to get closer to home. You know, they enjoy the area. You know, one officer who's transferring out said, you know, I'm getting my transfer, but it's kind of bittersweet. He says, I really like working here, but, you know, it is closer for home for me. So
that's got to be tough being in a big state. Never for a small state.
It is, but it's a great part about the higher patrol is you can go anywhere in the state you want. You know, after you have your certain amount of time on, wherever you decide you want to go, even, you know, as I get into the latter part of my career, I could go to San Diego if I wanted to.
Family.
Family stay. Family, family, yeah. Keeps you close, yes.
You mentioned you wanted to talk a little bit about some of the seasonal stuff. We've got the, obviously the harvest season is going on, the outdoor harvest season. We've got the hunting season going on, in theory fishing, but you need water for fish. So not sure that that's going to be too much on the rivers or in the lakes. What concerns you about this time of the year the most?
Seeing an increase in traffic out on these county roads that are, not as maintained as maybe main highways. And then ATV crashes. We get so many ATV crashes, and, you know, there's no protection in an ATV. A lot of them aren't wearing helmets. A lot of them are inexperienced. And I'm not talking just young kids. I'm talking anybody who's never ridden a quad, and now they're out in the woods riding around on a quad, maybe going too fast. And so, you know, be careful on those things, because when you crash, you're going to hit the dirt.
Just as hard.
And, you can be seriously injured.
The ATV, it's the weekend warriors. It's not the ranchers and the dairy guys that tend to be the source of a lot of this?
Not usually. Usually it's, people that are out there, racing around, having a good time. We've had people that have gone off the road and, hit trees and stuff like that. And it's terrible, because they're out having a good time, but at the same time, they're out there with no helmet on, going way too fast, and don't have enough experience to know what that ATV can do.
That's kind of a gruesome trio, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the crashes we don't want to go to.
I know motorcycles require licenses. ATVs don't, because they're not on the roadway.
Correct.
Are there training? Is there anything that you would suggest people do with these other than, go? But if you're going slow, for some that defeats the purpose of it, right? You want to fly over the dune, not drive over.
If you go to a local business that sells ATVs, I think they may have a training course you can do, but I don't know for sure on that. But I just tell people, hey, wear a helmet and be careful. You can't be driving that thing really fast and then make a sharp left or sharp right-hand turn. You're going to throw yourself off of it.
It's kind of like the RV and the can of chili, right?
Yes. Yeah. If the cupboard's open, it's going to fall on the floor.
Yeah. Do you have many hunting-related accidents that you have to respond to?
Not too many hunting. Mostly that's the sheriff's office that would respond to a hunting shooting accident.
Well, not the shoot, but I'm like guys driving home afterwards and they're tired and that kind of stuff.
We do. Yeah. Vehicles going off the road and, maybe you had a few drinks while you're out there hunting. We hope not. But then you got, on the road and you didn't make it home. Yeah. We don't want to see that happen.
Cool. The construction that's happening just north of UK, I know it's slightly outside of your jurisdiction. Are there plans from that up through the state line to continue to have more and more smaller types of highway? It's not really construction because they're not constructing, but detours. I know Klamath River Bridge is being closed this Sunday in the overnight to do some work. I know that there's a bunch of other small stuff that's going on. Do you guys get involved with that small stuff also?
We do, yeah. Those are mostly maintenance projects, to maintain that bridge up there with the hinges. A lot of these are maintenance projects. But, the overall goal for Caltrans in this area is to make it accessible to STA trucks, which are the larger trucks that would, increase commerce up here. And so that's the, reasoning behind, Willits and Richardson Grove and the projects up on 199 and 299 is to make it where those trucks can access the area.
When any of these construction zones happen, sometimes there are cops there, sometimes there aren't. How come? Are you guys requested to, or is it just if one of the guys is in the neighborhood, he may just park there for 15, 20 minutes?
Both. We're requested to be out there, but at the same time, if we think there's a need, we'll put somebody out there. But most of the time, it's depending on what they're doing. A lot of times, is there people that are on the ground, boots on the ground, that we're concerned about because we don't want to see somebody get hit. Caltrans work is just as dangerous as us. They're out there on the roadway. Cars are going right by close to them just like they are us, and so we don't want those guys to get hurt either.
Cool. Well, have fun in Sacramento.
All right. Thank you very much.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.